Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. In his message title, Change is Bad, Reverend David Williams tells us that when we set something aside, we feel we are losing something. It is hard to lose precious events and actions. Know that God is promising something glorious and new through His great gift to us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather here at the beginning of our Advent season. We gather in this place in the warmth and loveliness of seasonal decoration. And it should feel like an easy time. It should feel like a time of rest and hope, and yet it's so easy for it to feel different. We look out at a world that is so torn by violence, so torn by distraction, and often at a creation itself that seems to shake and tremble. We look to places like Anchorage. We look to Paradise, California, and we see fire and the earth moving, and we wonder what our place is in all of that. And that can make us feel unsettled and anxious and challenged. Let's acknowledge now that sometimes the fear of what the world offers makes us fret and worry, even in a time where we should be considering new and beautiful things. Let's admit that we bear that anxiety through our prayer of confession today. Please join with me in praying. God of all things and every moment, this season should be a time of joy and hope. We've given thanks for life and your blessings. We are setting ourselves towards a season of celebration. But the time can feel filled with foreboding as grim news and anxiety color our view of your creation. Though it is meant to be a season that shapes our hearts towards hope, we can feel less hopeful and more anxious and uncertain. Help us in this time of promise to find your path. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. You can follow along on page 85 in your Pew New Testament. Let us listen again for God's word. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. as soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I am generally not the biggest fan of change. I tend to enjoy things staying the same. There's a comfort in that. It's nice and easy, but sometimes that gets a little much. So much so that my wife over the years has come up with her own description of what she says is the Williams family motto. The Williams family motto is, change is bad. Just don't want anything to shift. But change is inevitable. I mean, it is a part of existence, but when I get comfortable with a thing, I just kind of want it to be as it was. I want it to stick around. I like the things that become part of the rhythm of existence. And that manifests itself in all kinds of ways, and the one that I think my wife finds the most frustrating is my wardrobe. Every couple of months, she will see me dressed in something and say, honey, you really need some new clothes. Honey, you can't still be wearing that. It's not possible that you're still wearing that. But I do. I just want something's comfortable and I'm used to it. It's just what I do. So long as it is still functional and mostly intact, I don't see any reason to replace an item of clothing. Like, my jacket of choice for most seasons is a hand-me-down that I got from my wife's grandfather, the great-grandfather to my sons. And it's nice, it's blue, it's mostly wind-resistant, it's still plenty warm, it's coming apart just a little bit, fraying at the cuffs and the collar after years of my use and then many years of use before, but it is still warm and it is still windproof, and you only notice the fraying if you look at it. So I wear it. I still wear it. And every time I wear it, I think about Poppy. And whenever Rach says, you know, you really should get another jacket, it's like, it's your grandfather's. Big eyes, and it works. Or my clerical garb, for pointed example, like this shirt I wear with the little plastic insert collar, because I'm not Episcopalian, I never learned how to do the real ones. This exists solely to mimic, it has no real function, it doesn't have any symbolism, it mimics the fashionable clothing for educated professionals in the 16th century. And so we're just stuck with it. We wear. This is, if I were a lawyer in the 16th century, I'd wear this. If I were an IT consultant in the 16th century, I don't know I'd have anything to do, but anything professional would wear this. And I got this shirt when I first became a pastor. This is the first pastor shirt I got, and that's a long time ago, like a decade and a half, and it still basically fits, which is a small miracle, thank you, Jesus. And it doesn't degrade because it's made of this unbreathable synthetic plastic fabric that will still be intact for pastors millennia after human beings have been replaced by robot pastors. How much do I not like change? Let me just say, this very shirt, this one I am wearing, I loaned out a couple of years ago to scarecrow makers who were making a pastor's outfit for one of the WUMCO scarecrow competitions. And when I got the shirt back, this very shirt, I said to myself, you know what? Just take a little magic marker to the worn parts where it had rained on it. And it's still usable, and I washed it. And here it is today. So I don't just wear hand-me-down clothes. I wear hand-me-down scarecrow pastor clothes. Which is to say that my wife's concern about my reluctance to get new clothes are not without foundation. Not if a thing works. I don't like tossing it aside. I'll admit it's a little pathological at points, but I like good things that last and that have value. And one of those things I've been thinking about recently that I am not eager to see change is our little planet. I know it is not a particularly fancy planet. It's not big and impressive with 100 moons like Jupiter, but I'm attached to it because you can live on it. I like that in a planet. I like a world with predictable seasons. I like a world where you can grow crops semi-reliably. I like a world that's not on fire. I like a world where the equatorial regions aren't three decades away from being as blasted and uninhabitable and lifeless as our poles. I like that. And I don't like the idea that it is actually visibly, observably changing. I don't like that. Because I see it in every report that has value to me. See it in reports from the folks at NOAA and the National Weather Service, who let us know when hurricanes are coming in, so thank you very much, public servants. I read about it in every planning document that gets sneaked out from the internal machinations of global corporations, who all know it's happening and are all preparing for it. I read it and see it in every long-term projection from every single branch of our armed forces that has coastal exposure. The Navy and the Marines are very, very much interested in what's happening to our planet. And they all say the same thing. It's shifting. It's changing much more rapidly than it ever has, and I am not eager to see that. I'm not eager for it. And I realize this new planet we're making, this new thing that we are shaping, will be a much more exciting place. It will have much more interesting weather. And will be much more interesting as human beings realize that a lot of the places where billions of people live are no longer going to be inhabitable. I'm sure we'll handle that well, because we always do. And I find it unsettling thinking about this as the reality of what my children and their children will be dealing with. That feels tight for me. That makes me anxious. That makes me worried for them. And so it's great that Luke's gospel today serves up this. It's Christmas. We're supposed to be thinking about tinsel, jingle bells, happy things, and we get this story of the earth in a time of wild apocalyptic change. And it's not just Luke who gives us this. You might be able to say, well, it's Luke. I'll skip to one of the other gospels. But it comes from the Gospel of Mark almost in its entirety. We get that from the 13th chapter of Mark, and we get that from the 24th chapter of Matthew's gospel, and it's it's not really what I want. It doesn't put me in a Christmas mood. You know, it doesn't. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. Not Christmassy, people, come on. The signs, these sense that somehow there's a change happening and the earth is torn by wind and waves, and I don't know that that feels great, particularly this year and last year, with fires and images of cities underwater or cities blasted from the coast by wind and wave, and you don't want to look at it. You kind of don't want to see it. You want to say maybe it's something else. Maybe something else is going on. Maybe it isn't what it appears to be, obviously. Which is exactly when Jesus, as we're reading this, pops out this annoying parable, because Jesus, whenever you're trying to avoid something, always brings out an annoying parable. And he says, well, you know fig trees. And back then they would, I mean, I don't know fig trees because they don't yet grow well in this climate. Give it a couple decades. But you know the fig tree. And when it's almost summer, the leaves come out, just like all the trees. And you know what that means because you can see it and it's obvious. Don't miss those signs. Don't miss signs that all but the greatest fool in the world would be able to see. And I find that unsettling, and you know, it's sort of looking at the strangeness around us, it's very easy to get that sort of apocalyptic feeling. I felt this a bunch of times this last year. Remember that windstorm we got? Remember that storm we got this year? My parents were without power for 36 hours, my in-laws for 52 hours, and the wind blew all day long. I remember it because I had to get up on my roof and put my roof vent back on after spending an entire day watching 40, 50, and 60 mile an hour winds slowly peel it away and telling my wife, you know, I need to get up there and fix it. She's like, no, don't do that, that's stupid. And I remember that mostly because, remember how much rain we got with that storm? We got none. It was clear skies out while I was walking the dog, and the trees were casting down large branches, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I had a cat. But do we remember that storm? Well, that was a strange one. And if you grow stuff, I seed save my green beans. And this year, for the first time ever, I didn't have as much luck with that. Because it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And the seeds I'd left out to dry on the little bushes had started to dry, and then when I went out to check on them, they had sprouted. Most of them were starting to put down roots while still on the bush, and it's not supposed to do that. That's like aquaculture, you know? I'm like, it's like hydroponics, unwilling hydroponics. That's not supposed to happen, and yet it was. Those signs are present, and that's easy to start feeling a little panicked about, which is right at the point where, like, I'm reading this text, and I'm like, oh no, this is bad. And then I hear Jesus say in 32, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. And I say, what? What does that mean? Because what generation was he talking about? It wasn't just talking about us. There is a tendency when we read the Bible to assume that every last word in here only pertains to us and the particular time in which we exist, because humans are like that. Jesus was here making a very specific point about his time and the signs for that moment. And though we look at creation in tumult back then, we look at the storms all around us, he was trying to make a point about every single generation having a particular moral responsibility to respond to the word of the gospel that he had been declaring. And as hard as it is watching our world change and seeing these signs around us, that is the point and purpose of his teaching at the dawn of this season. Because yes, things are really getting hard on our world right now, and we've done things and started processes that are going to require a lot of adaptive work on our part. We're going to have to change and respond to it. We can't ignore it or delude ourselves into believing it is not happening. But the message Jesus has as we look at our world in tumult says, even in the face of that crisis, what I am calling you to do is to see what those signs demand and what they have always demanded of us. That we respond to Christ's message with grace, always. And that can be a hard thing, because in times of crisis, human beings do a couple of things. One, they can support each other. They can sustain each other. They can look to the common good. They can see purpose. They can have a moral foundation, and they can act together accordingly. Or they can do exactly the opposite thing, because we're all free to respond. Pesky freedom. And we can either respond from a place of profit and predation, or we can respond from a place of fear. Because it's so easy to become anxious, to be consumed by this endless drum roll of terrible things happening in the world around us, and not hear the calling to the kind of transformation that this season we celebrate every year is about. It's a season that calls us to encounter whatever reality we are experiencing from the moral foundation of the kingdom of God. To be born anew into that, to be reminded of our responsibility to care for one another, and not miss that powerful potential that is born in Bethlehem, that shapes us, that changes us, that gives us this place where it's not just the world being shaken at its foundations, it is God entering the world. And that requires us to really encounter change, which, if you'll remember from my family motto, is something that's hard for us to do. I don't know if any of y'all have that change is bad feeling. But I do. I mean, I struggle with it. And in that, I am the person Jesus is challenging with these words, telling me, look at the tumult in the world, see the signs, be ready to embrace change as it is needed in your life. Because you can be transformed just as surely as a new shoot brings and marks the coming summer, just as surely as that child was born. Whatever the stirring and tumult in the world, know that that is what we are called to in this season. And it is our strength and our hope, no matter what is to come. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
I think so much of that Williams family motto, that change is bad, comes not because I'm reluctant to first adopt certain new and exciting tech, or that I don't like new cars or toys or things like that. It comes because when we set certain things aside, it feels like we've lost something important. Every once in a while, one of those rituals or places can be a place where we really feel we're missing something, like the verse we skipped because it's not in the blue hymn. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. There's this sense when we set certain things aside or move out of certain places that change involves loss. I was thinking for the children's sermon, one of the traditions I miss the most, and that was grandfather. My mother's father would come up and we would do Christmas, and he would always read to us, these Christmas carol stories, and we would listen to him work his way through A Night Before Christmas. And it was always his voice year after year, and then that changed because he wasn't with us. It's hard to lose those precious things. And I decided not to use that for the kids' sermon because it was sad. But there are certain places where change does mean losing a precious thing. Children who are no longer children, are no longer home. Familiar, beloved voices that have passed into God's care. Those things are hard for us to release. And it's easy for, from that place, to become anxious and fearful, or to cling to what was instead of seeing new and joyous things that offer themselves to us. So in this Advent season, wherever burdens or anxiety weigh us down, know that God is promising us something new. And it might feel like our world is shaking, and it might feel like we're in a place of challenge, but there is a new and joyous promise always, no matter where we are in life. Hold on to that truth, whatever sense of loss or anxiety may rest on you in this season of hope. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.